Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. We're going to do something a little special today. This is a five Sunday month, and so that means we have an extra weekend for a program. And 2 years ago, we celebrated the 85th anniversary of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. And I put together history of Dad's ministry on the radio, and I'm going to play the audio part of that presentation today on the program. You'll hear music that Dad's quartet sang. You'll hear samplings of music of people that he would have on the radio program. You'll hear my dad's voice as he would introduce songs and introduce the program. Then you're going to hear some excerpts from some of Dad's greatest sermons. And I hope you enjoy it today. Don't forget to pray for us as we're in camp meeting this weekend and next weekend in North Carolina at Camp Wesley in China Grove, North Carolina. That's June 13 to 23. So do pray for us as we're involved in this camp meeting for the month of June. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and blessings in our lives. And I pray that as the folks listen today, they'd receive a real blessing from what we share. We're so thankful for your faithfulness across the years, the production of this radio program. And I pray that it would continue to be a blessing to the listening audience. Continue to supply the need. You've always done that, and I'm grateful, Father. I ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Most of you already know our mailing address. It's the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo and PayPal tabs there. Hope you'll think about that and pray about that. And I hope you enjoy what we have for you today on this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel. Thanks so much for joining us today. I trust the program will be a blessing as you listen to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Preaching the old-fashioned gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than I have in any 1 week, not because the mail has been so large, the mail has been comparatively small. But, beloved, I'm glad that there are other folks that have come to us and told us how much they appreciated the broadcast and how much they appreciated the stand we took against sin. And almost every time I receive a card or letter, somebody is just begging me earnestly not to compromise. Well, beloved, if that's worrying you, you just quit worrying about it this morning, because I'm not even having the least idea whatsoever of ever compromising. I started to make it through to the city, and I'm going to preach the old-fashioned gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as long as God will give me breath. Now, I mean that this morning. I'm not just saying that to be saying something. I mean it from the depths of my heart. And when it gets to the place where I can't preach it, I'll close my Bible, I'll resign my churches, I'll give up my radio program, and I'll go back to the mill, brother, where I was before I started preaching, because I'm not going to compromise. We're glad this morning for the privilege of broadcasting the gospel and telling the wonderful story of Jesus.
I want to talk to you this morning, friends, for a little while on the subject of the threefold nature of sin. And our text is found in Judges, the 16th chapter, the 21st verse. And they took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Sin, in the very beginning, is the transgression of the law. Any sin, large or small, cannot enter into the kingdom of Almighty God. Many people are living in the world today, are trying to commit little sins, trying to sin every day, and still have the blessing of old-time salvation burning in their souls. They think that a man can continue to sin every day and still be a child of God. A man who's been born again does not commit sin from the depth of his heart every day that he lives. God sent his Son to come into the world to die to save us from sin, that we might not continue in sin. The blood that flowed from the cross of Calvary can do away with sin and make a man a new creature in Christ. Pick him up and set his feet on a solid foundation. He can have the love and the power of God manifested in his life and be one of those who has experienced a real case of old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, blood-bought salvation down in his heart.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
And the lights of spiritual guidance is on the air. This is your radio pastor, Reverend J. Harold Oman, speaking. And what a joy to my heart to share with you the gospel in song and from the word on the broadcast today. Pray for us, stay tuned with us now, and the Lord bless you real good today is our prayer. How wonderful it is to think about the time that we'll be at home with our Lord throughout eternity. The group sings again just now.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lights of spiritual guidance is on the air. This is your radio pastor, Reverend J. Harold Oman, speaking. What a real joy to visit with you again today through the medium of radio and I trust that our coming will be an uplift and a challenge to the hearts of each of you in our wonderful radio family today.
They ran up to him with a note. He looked at it. It said, "He whom thou lovest is sick." And he put it in his pocket. And you say, "Wait a minute, preacher. Is that all the note said? That's what the book says. It says, 'He whom thou lovest is sick.' Well, didn't he love everybody? He surely did. But my friends, I've got news for you. I don't care who you are, where you live, what the number of your house is, what the circumstances are that surround your life. This man that I'm talking about knows the number of your house. He knows the route you live on. He knows whether it's in a ranch-style home or in a log cabin. He knows whether you got a bank account or whether you haven't got a dime. He knows the room they put you in when they take you to the hospital. And they know, beloved, when they roll a casket into the front room in the midst of all your suffering. He knows all about you. But a few days passed, and he said, 'Let's go to Bethany.' And they said, 'Master, did not of late the Jews sought to stone thee, and thou goest again?' He said, 'Are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walketh in the light, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if he walk in darkness, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him.' And on the way up to Bethany, two broken-hearted sisters had buried their brother a few days before. One of them said, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.' And he said, 'Your brother shall live again.' She said, 'I know he'll live again in the resurrection of the last day.' But it was at the Bethany home that day that he reached across the boundary line of worlds and pushed back the clouds and the curtains and, beloved, lifted that Old Testament question out of the book of Job, 'If a man dies, shall he live again?' And Jesus stood there at Bethany that day, and he answered that question when he said, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.' Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he said, 'Where is the tomb?' And she said, 'By this time he stinketh.' And, beloved, they wept, and he wept with them. He said, 'Roll that stone out of the way.' And they rolled that stone back, and he looked in. There was Lazarus dead, wrapped in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot, wrapped in grave clothes and a napkin about his face. And Jesus said, 'Loose him and let him go.' Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he can not only create life and sustain life and empower life and provide for life and protect life and illuminate life, but he can recreate life. One of these days, this preacher that's preaching to you this afternoon, I may go by the way of a cemetery, but if I knew the first noise I hear, I'm coming out. Because that'll be the day the trumpet sound. That'll be the day the bugle blows. That'll be the day when the saints of God. He's the image of the invisible God.
I remember some time ago when I kind of got beside myself a little bit, and I do that once in a while. A woman came up to me and she said, "You got excited, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, and I think it's time you'd get excited too." She said, "Well, I don't believe in shouting." I said, "Well, I wouldn't either if I didn't have something to shout about. That's the thing that makes a difference." She said, "Well, you were so unethical." I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I studied ethics. I try to be ethical." She said, "Yeah, but you detoured." I said, "Yes, I did that on purpose." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because some folks gotten so far off the main road, you have to detour to get to where they're living." I made up my mind 45 years ago that I was going to see what was inside the city of God. I set my face like a flint toward that celestial city and intend by his mercy and by his grace to be in that number when he calls his children home, when he comes back after his chosen bride. I've never been to a city in all the years of my ministry. And I've traveled in 39 states, Canada and Cuba. I've never been to a city where there wasn't a fevered brow, where eyes didn't get dim, and hearing didn't get difficult, and steps were not feeble and slow. Never been to a city where there was not sickness and pain and death. Never been to a city where the shades of night didn't settle, and where men and women were facing up to anxieties, persecution, problem, and peril, perplexity, and those vicissitudes of life that bring heartache and grief and despair to the soul. But this morning I report to you that I'm on my way to a city four square, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, street of pure gold, a city where decay never gnaws at fatalist beauty, where time never writes a wrinkle, and where death will never dig a grave, a city where they'll never call a doctor, for no one will ever get sick. They'll never call a funeral director, for no one will ever die. A city where eyes will never be dim, hearing will never be difficult, and steps will never be feeble and slow, where taxes and rent will never come due and have to be paid, where there'll never be one night of darkness, a city where they'll not shut the gates of it at all by day, for there'll be no night there, where they'll have no need of the sun or the moon, for the Lord God is the lamp and the light thereof. I've determined that I'm going to see what's inside that city.
The heavenly porter, blessed be God, is concerned not about who you are, where you've been, but he's vitally concerned about where you're going.
Yeah.
And he'll look after you on the journey. I said yes to that porter, I'd like to have a pillow for my head. It was a long trip, and I thought I could relax and rest a while. And he laid those pillows over on the other seat and fluffed up one of those downy pillows and put it under my head. He said, now rest a while if you can, sir. Tears came to my eyes and rolled down across my face. I said, that's just exactly what the heavenly porter has told me and permitted me to do more than one time.
Yeah.
Just nestle my head on his bosom.
Yeah.
And friend, if you've been in the way very long, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But after a while, the porter came back through the train, and I called him. I said, Mr. Porter, I want to ask you a question. I said, how far are you going on this trip? And ladies and gentlemen, I almost didn't stay in my seat. He said, sir, he said, I'm a-going with you to the end of the line. I said, that's exactly what the heavenly porter told me when I got on board. He'd never leave me nor forsake me, but he'd go with me to the end of the age.
Yeah. Wonderful.
But after a while, he said to me, and I hastened to close, he said to me finally, he said, sir, what's your destination? I said, Greensboro, North Carolina. And he stood there for a minute as if he was trying to figure up how far it might be to where I was going, and he said, you know, you'll soon be home.
Yeah.
We got on over it to High Point, North Carolina, and that was the last stop before home. And I'd already sent a telegram to my wife for her to get somebody to bring the children, and I wanted them to meet me at the station. I lived a lonely life, living out of a suitcase week after week and month after month. And I was looking forward to that family reunion.
Right.
And when the train pulled into the station, I saw my companion and my children. My little girl saw me first. She said, there's my daddy. The porter had already picked up my suitcase and taken it to the loading platform. And when I got ready to get off, I reached in my pocket and I got a little larger piece of money than normally I would have given. When I stepped off, I put it in his hand and I said, "Mr. Porter, I want you to know how much I appreciate you getting me on board this train and looking after me and giving me the care you did for all these miles." I said, "This is a little token of appreciation and thanks. I've thought so many times and I've reached the place anymore that it's hard for me to ask the Lord for very much. Hard to ask Him for very much. I'm spending most of my time these days trying to catch up on thanks and gratitude and appreciation. I'm so glad, beloved, this morning that one day He commanded the porter to watch."
Our Father, take the message, seal it to the hearts of everyone listening today, and save that man or woman that's lost. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye, and God bless you, beloved, until we meet again. Write us this week. And don't forget, friend, I'm still praying for you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship. And if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.